welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 201. God, that sounds weird to say. 201, a podcast odyssey, only I'm not Arthur C. Clarke, and my co-podcaster is not a psychotic computer, to the best of my knowledge. Peter Willington, are you a psychotic computer?
You don't know that for sure. I mean,
it is actually true. Actually, I should probably point out, podcast listeners, we do a lot of our office work through Skype. We're all located in different places around the country. So technically, I've never actually met Peter Willington face to face. So, for all I know, he is a construct. He is an AI.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. That's the best bit of that film.
That is the best bit of that film. It's kind of awesome.
Dear. Have you seen the sequel?
No.
No,
literally, no, I haven't.
Oh, it's amazing. It's not done by Kubrick, obviously, but it has got the guy from... It's got the guy from Jaws. You know the guy in Jaws who goes, "We're going to need a bigger boat," and then he goes, "Ooh," like that when he sees a shark for the first time.
It's got him in it. Recreation. It's got him in it. Does he have to deal with space sharks?
I did keep my eyes peeled, but I didn't see any that time round. I think it's a better film. I think the sequel is a better film than the first one, because the first one's too long. It's got that bit where it's like 20 minutes of just a kaleidoscope, and it's...
The ending's a bit weird. I'm a Kubrick geek. I do happen to love it, and I love just the 4 minutes of kind of just black screen and orchestra swell scariness. Oh, it's awesome. But I agree, you do watch it the first time, and when it goes all kaleidoscope, you are, however indulgent you are just kind of, what's going on?
Come on!
And then you walk out and go, "Yeah, I understood it. Yeah, sure. It was in depth." I should apologise to anybody. I wasn't here last week. I was gallivanting off. I took my first holiday of the entire year, and it happened to coincide with the 200th episode of the podcast, which I only realised at a later date. It was very irresponsible of me. But Peter stepped in and took the reins in masterful fashion. And I have listened to half of it. I got to the bit where Keith was laying into me for being amorphous or something.
Yeah.
So I've shaken my digital fist at him, and I await a retort. Mm-hmm. He was probably right. But still, digital fisticuffs.
You can say whatever you like about Keith now. I think we should make that a thing whereby
just laying into people who aren't here.
Yeah, exactly.
Cast 201.
Yeah.
Nice. All right then. Keith Andrew, right. Yeah. I hear. Oh. Yeah. One of his legs is slightly shorter than the other, and when he gets drunk, he ends up walking round and round in circles in the pub car park. That's I don't tell him I told you, nobody, because okay. You know. I'll learn him, won't it?
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Games. That's right. Video games. You'd probably talk about some of those. There's a whole list of stuff to discuss this week. Lots of new things coming out. So you should probably scoot on over to the newsroom. Peter, Charlie's on my zero. Tango's in the trees. Charlie's in the bushes behind the bike shed to the left. No, not there. That one. Oh, there. Yeah, there he is. Oh, it's war is hell.
Oh, does it change or does it never change? That's the question, isn't it?
It is. As many important singer-songwriters have asked. So big release this week. Was it this week or was it just last week? I don't know, because I never play any console games. I only play on my mobile phone. Mm. But Call of Duty Black Ops 2 came out on the console, and I understand it's quite a popular little title that does very well for Activision and involves lots of men running around in the future, shooting each other with remote-controlled drones and, that sort of thing.
Yep.
A little while back, they released, they being Activision, released a Call of Duty Elite app for iOS and Android as well, but who cares. which was able to tap into Modern Warfare 3 and let you access in-game stats, monitor things like manage your custom classes, join groups, clans, all that stuff from your mobile handset. So it was kind of a little companion piece, so you could stay enveloped in that Call of Duty universe while you were out and about and on the bus and, you know, picking pigeons in the park.
Yep.
Now, following the release of Black Ops 2, they have updated the app to include support for the new Black Ops 2 game, which means that you'll now be able to access all that same stuff, so custom classes, blah, 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 for Black Ops 2, which, if you are a big fan of that, I imagine is quite enticing. I have to admit, I'm not the biggest Call of Duty player. I did do Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, I think 4. I did the early ones when it was back in World War 2, but I haven't been too enamored with the more recent ones, mostly because I'm a miserable, antisocial, non-multiplayer type.
Yeah, because most of the people that play Call of Duty multiplayer are very, very social. They're very they're good. they're good at talking with other people in a polite manner. Yeah.
They like to be reasonable and level-headed and frowned
not racist.
On. Yes, yeah. Abuse and ethnic slurs. God bless them. But no, that's clearly not all of them. That's clearly a minority. No, but just generally, I've never been that multiplayer. And to be fair, those games are multiplayer-centric. The single-player campaigns are shorter, and the focus isn't really on them, clearly.
I think those games get unfairly criticised for. I think, yeah, definitely the long-lasting values in the multiplayer. But the single-player is always, like, you know, all of the discussion about... I can't remember which one it was. Modern Warfare 2. All the discussion about that was that one scene in the
airport thing.
So, I mean, you know, I think the single player is really important. But the app, this app, mm-hmm. is definitely focused on multiplayer, isn't it? I don't think it tracks anything that's single player.
Not what I know. It's just from the little listings, because I don't have the game and haven't downloaded it. But, join groups, join clans, monitor in-game stats, that sort of thing. Also, you'll be able to stream Call of Duty Elite TV, which gives you access to things like you can watch live matches, you can check out multiplayer guides, and apparently the actual Black Ops team, which is it was Treyarch this time, I believe, they offer their own like insider tips and information to help you out, so you can kind of view all that stuff while you're on the go. So it sounds like just the thing if you're into your Call of Duty, and what's more, it's free. So it sounds like the ideal companion. What else have we got? Oh, yes, there's some more new things as well. This one I'm very excited about,
mm-hmm.
because I like this series. I was a little late to come to it, but now I'm here. I really like it. The Walking Dead, the game, which originally landed on the Xbox Live Arcade and PSN and also Steam as well. And it took a couple of months before it came over to iOS, but it did get there eventually when it arrived on the iPad. It is a point-and-click adventure. Anyone who hasn't played it, or played any of the Telltale games, which are the studio responsible, it's point-and-click adventure title in which you must sort of make decisions, some of which are quite testing and emotionally, you know, some of which are quite ambiguous, really, about what is the right thing or the wrong thing to do, which is sort of the essence of the game. In order to survive the zombie apocalypse. If you've seen the TV series, you know where you stand. Do you watch the TV series or follow the games at all, Pia?
I don't like zombies.
As in, like, you wouldn't like to be trapped in a hospital waiting room with one, or you just don't find them interesting?
A bit of both. So I don't like spiders and I don't like zombies, and they're kind of like, I'm not scared of zombies because they're not a real thing.
Not like the evil spiders.
Okay. But zombies to me, like, I don't like disaster movies, for example. I don't like it when, like, things are out of my control, essentially. Like, that's a little bit scary, isn't it? A bit of a scary thing to say. I don't like it when things are out of my control, but I don't like roller coasters in the same way. Like, I wouldn't mind driving around a car at 150 miles an hour around a track. That'd be good fun. But a roller coaster just makes me go, ooh, no, because, yeah. And so for me, zombie, I don't like them because I don't like the concept of not being in control. And I know that I wouldn't be I wasn't the star football player. I wasn't the school genius. I wasn't anything like that. So I would definitely be part of the supporting cast of zombies. And I don't like the idea of not having control over myself. So I don't like zombies, and I steer clear of them at all times.
So you're convinced that you will never make the third act if you were to find yourself.
I am the eternal red shirt, basically.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that's tragic. Well, I'm trying to think whether this would be good for you then, because really, granted things are out of your control to some degree, and there's been phenomenal response to this game, especially online, especially on Twitter. Yeah. Loads of people really powerfully affected by it, and there's a hashtag which keeps coming up, which is for Clementine, which, if you've played the game, makes sense, because it refers to a little girl that you're kind of looking after. And it's been a really interesting thing to play through. I mean, I'm only towards the end of the second chapter, so I've only been playing it for a few hours, but it's very engaging. It's a shame because it's occasionally quite glitchy, which is a running theme with the Telltale games. But the content really does kind of overwhelm any you know digital inconsistencies or whatever, because the narrative is so strong and the voice acting is really good, and it throws you into a lot of awkward situations where you're forced to choose things against the clock as well.
What do you mean? What do you mean by awkward?
We
both want the same shirt.
Oh, well, kind of. Although less shirts, more food. Like in situations where you have a limited amount of food and you have a large group to feed, and you have to choose who you're going to feed and who you let starve. That sort of thing. Mm. And you get this sense that there's no right answer. It's not that one thing's right and one thing's wrong. It's all just very ambiguous. Which is really interesting and puts you in that moral quandaries quite a lot, on a number of occasions. The reason we're talking about this, the reason this is interesting, is because the final episode, the fifth installment of this season, is going to be coming onto iOS on November 21st, which is next week, on Wednesday. Next Wednesday, we'll be turning up. This is interesting because previously the iOS versions of this game have come a good month or two later than the console iterations. In this instance, they're all arriving at the same time. So iOS users will be able to play at the same time as the Xbox and the PlayStation customers as well. I'm guessing to avoid, maybe they're trying to avoid spoilers for the big finale. If they get them all out day and date, then maybe iOS people won't get it, their experience ruined. But it's good news for anyone who's been looking forward to it, because it means a compressed playing time for all the iOS folks. I think you should play it anyway, even with your misgivings. I think it would be worth it because, yeah, you're kind of out of control, but everyone who's playing it is out of control, and it's just an interesting experience, especially from the from a gaming perspective. It really is focusing far more on testing your emotions and interacting with you in a different way than games usually do, rather than just demanding you to hit the fire button all the time.
What kind of zombies are they? Are they the 28 Days Later zombies, or are they the Living Dead zombies?
Romero zombies. We're in shambling territory here.
Oh, well, how do they pose a threat then?
Because there's an awful lot of them.
Mm.
That's the thing with zombies in general, isn't it? They're always, as Romero, when he did them, they were always supposed to be... Well, they're always supposed to be kind of a big metaphor for a gradually encroaching evil or something.
Capitalism.
Yeah, capitalism or consumerism or whatever. Or just dead people with missing jaws. that's scary too.
Yeah.
Some people read way too deep. So these ones are the shambly ones. But, the problem with it all is you're holed up. And it skips time as well. So you jump forward a number of months. So you're holed up in an abandoned way station or a car park or something. And you've fenced off the edges. But the thing is, they just keep coming and coming and coming. And eventually, one gets through, you're kind of screwed. So...
Okay, James, what would be your weapon of choice if you were going up against zombies? What would be the... you get one weapon and that's it.
Oh, it's tough. See, because I would favour the sniper just to avoid, pitch myself up a tree because zombies are rubbish at climbing and just snipe them forever. But then if they do get too close, then I'm sort of, I'm in dire straits there. So there's always the axe. But I don't know. It depends how you get infected. If you get that, if it's the 28 days later blood in your eye, then an axe is a bit dangerous. Ideally, you'd like to keep them at arm's length. Or there's the brain dead lawnmower approach. That's always good.
What's that?
You've seen Peter Jackson's Brain Dead. You've seen that? No? Yes, no?
I've seen criminally few movies.
I see. Okay, then. Well, by the end of it, he rocks up into his house with a lawnmower, sort of picks it up so the blades are spinning vertically and then just runs at all the zombies.
All right, okay.
That proves quite effective.
Okay.
Messy, but effective. So, I don't know. I'd have to choose one of those three. Probably the sniper, because I'm a basic physical coward. but no, play, overcome your fears, play it, because it's dead good. And everyone else, okay. If you're already up to episode 4, episode 5 is next week, same time as everyone else, so go and get it. And if you haven't got it, catch up, whichever format, ideally iOS, obviously, catch up on it, because it really is exciting. I mean, people are, there's lots of talk about Game of the Year and everything across all consoles, you know. This is an interesting one, so give it a look if you haven't already. But speaking of massively popular games, Minecraft, the big blocky world building Lego construction set on your computer, as I believe is the subheading for it. It has got another update. They've been gradually updating, you know, adding extra features to the Pocket Edition, because when it was released, there were a number of things that were kind of notably absent. That people sort of complained about. So they've been gradually bringing it kind of almost in line with the PC versions, the console versions as well. This most recent one, sticking with the theme, adds zombies.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I know, you'd be delighted. But these are slightly different. These are zombie pig men.
Okay.
Which I did have to check when I wrote this up, because I was like, what does that mean then? And obviously the characters are very, you know, crudely drawn and everything, and cubey, but it is. It kind of looks like a man pig zombie thing.
So what do they eat?
I assume, and you.
But do pigs like brains?
Zombie ones do.
The zombie
disease is one of the great equalizers in this world. Doesn't matter whether you're a chaffinch or a. You know, tarantula.
Oh, can
brains.
You imagine a zombie tarantula? Can you not? Right, okay, I'm going to have to quit this podcast if you're not. So let's just calm down, everybody.
No,
okay.
No sleep for Peter for a week now.
Oh, that's a horrible idea.
Oh, it's a brilliant idea. I'm patenting it and packaging it and sending it to your house. But don't worry, because if you're afraid of the zombie pigman, then you'll be able to take cover from their gradual onslaught in one of your mushroom farms.
Oh, well.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Mushroom farming has also been added to Minecraft Pocket Edition. So you can, you know, grow fungus while you're hiding from zombie hordes. There's also a thing, and I wasn't too familiar with this until I looked up on it, regarding the Nether, which is you can build Nether portals. I'm probably getting this wrong, but as I understand it, you can build portals out of onyx that go to the Nether regions, which sounds dodgy but isn't, in the PC game and the other ones. They don't have that in Pocket Edition, so what they're doing is they're introducing the Nether Reactor, which is like a little mini almost portal-like thing, and the idea is apparently you go up and you touch it, and then things come out of it. Goodies come out of it. At least that's what they're saying. It's only gone up today, and we haven't seen it. But that's the word. So zombies, mushrooms, and portal things all coming to your Minecraft Pocket Edition. So if you've got it, it's free updates. Obviously, if you haven't got it, it's still kicking around. It's quite pricey, Minecraft. It's one of the things that slightly put me off. It's $4.99 on iOS, and I was, you know,
and it also. It also doesn't control as brilliantly as it could do.
That is true. I did have a go. I have played it on my friends, and it didn't. It's just another case of, well, it's a first person game, and just they're never ideally suited. It's totally playable, but if I wanted a version, I'm not sure it would necessarily be the Pocket one. There are other games better suited to mobile than this, perhaps. But it's just such a huge thing, and it offers so many possibilities that people are happy to play it pretty much wherever. I mean, the Xbox One's done very well, from what I understand as well. So people were kind of scoffing at the controller, but no, everyone bought it because it's Minecraft, and people love it.
Love it.
Because people love Lego. That's amazing. Speaking of things that do well... It's a difficult subject, this one, isn't it? Because it has done well, but at the same time, it hasn't. Punch Quest was released a few weeks back, I believe, which is kind of an endless runner slash punching game where you charge along and batter the hell out of a bunch of pixel art enemies as you go. It was reviewed very positively by us. I can't remember who did it, the review, that is. But it got major props, and everybody said, and it got great critical consensus all around. People said it was great fun. Perhaps too much fun, because they released it as a freemium title, free to download with some in-app purchases. Problem is, no one really bought the in-app purchases, despite the fact that it was downloaded over a million times or something. No one spent any money on it. And so the developers kind of went, oops, and made a couple of statements saying, yeah, we're going to make some adjustments, so we're going to change the in-app purchase system and maybe make the buttons a bit more obvious, because I think they were a little bit hidden away before. And they did that, and apparently that made it worse. And
jeez.
Yeah, even fewer people spent any money. So, as a kind of last resort, Punch Quest is no longer freemium. It is now a premium game, which costs you 69 pence or 99 cents. I think it's difficult to make this one seem attractive to new customers, to me. Because if it's been free for a number of weeks and then suddenly someone says ups the price and makes it 69p, then as a consumer, I feel like, well, you know, why should I pay for it when everyone else has already got it for free? Obviously it hasn't worked in whatever way, and there doesn't seem much incentive for me to hand over money when I know that like millions of people have already picked up the game for nothing.
That's true, but at the same time, there are a lot of people talking about this game, aren't there? There are a lot of people who are going to be playing it, tweeting about it, showing it to their friends at parties, there's all that sort of stuff. And now I guess it's one of those things of, well, if you want to get in, like, you know, it's going to cost you 69 pence. I admit that it's probably not the best way that they could have handled all of this, but at the same time, it's strange, because if this wasn't such a good game, I don't think we'd really be having this conversation. I think we'd just be like, well, oh well, never mind. Like, but because it's you know, it's so charming and it's really good fun to play and it's balanced really well, and you know, you're kind of rooting for these people to actually do well with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, when it came out, it really was one of those games where it was like, ah, maybe this is the start of freemium starting to be accepted by people. You know, maybe this is one of the first few games where, like, you know, the hardcore gamer community is like, oh, actually, yeah, this freemium stuff's okay by us. And the fact that it tanked in terms of sales is really disappointing, because you want to reward them financially for making a critically acclaimed title.
Yeah, it does sound like it really deserves it. I mean, the problem is that I think one consideration is that people are suggesting, I've seen some people suggesting, that the reason it was rated so highly, the reason it's such a good game, is precisely because the monetization was pushed so far into the background. Had the pricing been more aggressive, or had the kind of in-app purchase requests been more intrusive and like in your face, I get the impression people would have thought of the game less favorably. If it was stopping you every 5 minutes and saying, buy this, people would kind of usually remark on that sort of thing in reviews and go, oh, it's a bit aggressive. The fact that it kind of let you play and let you go and just, you know, get on with the gameplay, people seem to love that. But that seemed also to be it was a strength but also a failing in the end. They were too generous. They made it too fun and didn't really give anyone any reason to splash any cash on it. And it's obviously damaged them in the long term, which I completely agree is not what you want, because they've made a good game.
Yeah,
and you do want them to do well. So it's tough. I know that they're already kind of considering the next game, and they've, you know, had a big rethink about their pricing structure, the team responsible, which is Rocket Cat, the guys behind it. So with any luck, they'll come up with something just as awesome and get their pricing right, and it'll be a big old financial success for them. But even with the pricing, I know I've said that, you know, it's difficult to persuade people to get it, I would think, or some people might be skeptical. It is definitely worth 69p. So yes, go give them money. But someone else has been asking for money. I realise you guys talked about this a little bit last week, but because it's an ongoing story, Peter Molyneux's Curiosity, that big floating cube with stuff all over it. It went down. it's been plagued by problems for basically the entire week. I think what happened was it launched and in standard sort of classic Molyneux fashion, we love Molyneux. He's just like such a character and he's so enthusiastic and so just, this is all brilliant. And he, says that every game is going to be the best game ever. And I kind of love him for that. At the same time as being skeptical of what he says, because we've kind of been burnt in the past. I still love the fact that he just goes out there all guns blazing. And I don't know if they necessarily anticipated how popular Curiosity would be, perhaps, but it seems that since the launch of the game, which is basically it's a big cube, and if you haven't seen it, there's loads of tiny blocks, and you just tap away at blocks. Every time you tap the screen, a block disappears, and you chip away at the surface. Once you reveal one surface, once you chip it all away, there's another surface beneath, which has got different colors or different images on it or something like that. And you just keep going down over layers and layers and layers and layers. And it's kind of this big group effort over everyone in the world is operating on the same blocks at the same time. So it's a massive group effort. Turns out that there have been a lot of people doing it. A lot of people. More than the game and the servers can take, in fact. So people have been having real difficulty logging in and not seeing the up-to-date image. So their cube hasn't been refreshed, so they're not seeing what everyone else is seeing. People haven't been able to get on the servers full stop. And so Peter Molyneux put out a request for people to donate via PayPal to get more servers up, I think it was. I know you guys covered the... Where did you get up to? Like, last week, what layer were you on? Can you remember?
I think we're on something like layer 6.
Oh, okay. Right. So, I mean, it started out sort of black, and then there's a green layer underneath, and then it went red, and then there were pictures of what looked like big onions or something, and then there were pictures of scissors and peaches, and then there's some eyeballs looking at you, and then it went a little literary. It's gone through every layer's got these different kind of skins on it. As of today, the most recent update, we are down to it was originally pages from Alice Through the Looking Glass, so it's Lewis Carroll book they'd put up there. And now they're chipping down and it's going back to red again. So we've got no idea what's going on. It's just, it's going to be a thing that's going to be evolving over the coming weeks. And it's just be interesting to keep an eye on it and see what eventually happens and whether there is something worthwhile inside or if it's just a massive smokescreen anti-climax. But it's just interesting to see how much it's kind of captured the public imagination. Lots of reports of people who never play games just picking it up and playing it. Like relentlessly, like people's friends and people's partners and people just traditionally aren't into games, sitting tapping away for hours on end. It seems to be good.
It's because it really is one of the simplest forms of video game ever, isn't it? Really, to win, they are tiny wins every single time. But the win scenario is basically tap your screen. Like, it, you know, it's so simple. It's more simple than something like Pong or something like that. I think it really is a reversion to a very old school way of thinking, but with a new form of technology and with all sorts of interesting social elements. And it definitely does feel like an experiment that's going on. You do feel like you are part of something, some sort of test or some sort of movement almost. Yeah. I would describe it as, and because I've kind of been playing it a little bit this week, so I finally managed to get on, and yeah. And it's fascinating. I don't know if I like it, like the actual game, like the actual app itself, but I do like what it's trying. And it's actually the first Molyneux game where I've gone, yeah, all right, cool. I generally don't really go in for Molyneux stuff, but this is, so far, it's been brilliant.
I quite liked him from the Amiga days. I liked him when he was at Bullfrog and giving all like
Theme and all that. Theme Hospital, amazing.
I wasn't so keen on the Fables, I've got to be honest. But I just like him. Yeah, I like him for all the fact that I like him. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, but I like him. He's kind of entertaining, and I approve of the enthusiasm. It's grand. And this is interesting. Although, I mean, I played it. I've been playing it on and off, and I feel like I'm being watched. You know what I mean?
I'm
conscious of the fact that what I'm doing is being monitored, is being fed into machines somewhere, and statistical analyses are being run, and they're working out my preferences and sandwiches and, you know, my sleeping patterns and stuff. I just get the feeling, perhaps I'm paranoid, but I get the feeling that that's what's going on. But he's been fairly open-handed about that. So we'll have to see how it unfurls and which layer scratches off underneath, which new layer we get to see. But it's not just new layers, of course, this week. There's been new games as well. So we'll scamper on over and have a look at this week's new releases. First up on this week's new releases, we have a game by Ayopa Games called Arranger, which we've decided is a strange game, and it sort of is. It's a kind of odd combination of retro fantasy RPG mixed with one of those mini-game collections that you can get where every level is a different interpretation of an old and classic game. But this is all tied in with a pixel art aesthetic and a sort of music game where you're battling other characters with music and notes. So it's quite a strange mashup of things. Now, if you check out the screenshots or look at the video which we've got on the site, it's like really, really retro looking thing. Very colourful, a little bit surreal and zany looking. But we'd suggest you play the trailer that we've got embedded because it sounds great. Really fun chiptunes music. If you're into that at all, then definitely have a listen, because it's actually one of the better examples that I've heard. The idea is that you go through and there are loads of different instruments within the game. So they give examples like guitars and xylophones and things like that. And each instrument kind of functions as a weapon or has its own weaponry and attributes. And you use those to fight enemies and destroy bosses. So you know, use your guitar to rock other giant brains to death and all that stuff. I'm totally going by what it says on what it's got in the images here, but it looks to me like you do rock a giant brain to death with a guitar. So that sounds entirely plausible. But it looks really cool. I like the visuals, and the music's really strong. It's 69p99. It's only available for your iPhone at the moment, so no iPad version. Customer reviews are strong, and people seem to be warming to it. Definitely look at the trailer. Good tunes. What's up next, Peter?
Next up is Color Shift, which is from Rock and Roller Games.
Mm-hmm.
It is 99p, 69b. And it is a game in which you dodge and collect color nodes in a fast-paced, dynamic world. Basically, you are a little colored object at the bottom of a screen, vertical screen, and objects fall towards your position. And you need to collect the little items that are your color, essentially. So you might be red, you might be a little red block, and other red blocks will fall down towards you and you need to collect them. But my word, here comes a twist.
Ooh.
There might be a yellow triangle, James.
Not them, I hate them.
Oh, I can't believe it. There might be, you know, a blue oblong, who knows. And you want a
pentagon.
Yeah, purple pentagon. We're just naming Pokemon.
Yeah, we name it shapes and colors.
Shapes and colors. So you want to avoid them. Now, do you remember those old mechanical handheld games that came out like in the 80s, the late 80s, where you'd wind it up, there'd be like a little clockwork winder, and then something basically would have like a circle, and it might be like a racing car game. You'd have a tiny little plastic wheel. Yeah, do you remember those? And you'd have to like dodge out of the way of them. It looks exactly like one of those.
It does. Those racing is where the background would spin on a kind of turning wheel, and then the car would actually be plastic, and you'd physically.
Yeah.
The left. Yes. Oh God. Bizarre, terrifying flashbacks now.
Yeah. Horrible. So I've got one of those sitting on my shirt. I'm looking at it right now. It's amazing.
I think my brother's had one. It might have been a bit before my time, but I totally remember those. Yeah. So, and you're right. It does look like that.
So, I mean, you know, if you're of that age that you remember one of those things, then you'll know exactly what this kind of plays out like. It's just a dodging game and a collection game. If you're not old enough to remember those things, then you're younger than us and you've got far more life in front of you. So don't complain that you don't know what that is.
Yeah. And, you know, tuck your shirt in and straighten up and, you know, put your sort life out.
Don't talk to me like that. You.
Yeah. Rapscallion.
Oh, you. So, yeah, and that is for the iPhone and iPad.
Right on. What have we got next? Gear Jack by Crescent Moon Games. You've had a couple of titles out recently. Mm. This game is another continuous runner, done in the sort of silhouetted style. It's actually, I wouldn't say it's silhouette, even though the foreground stuff is black. The character himself is white, and there's a lot of cogs and bits and bobs that are other colours. It's more kind of pop art or clip art style, so just solid blocks of colour. The lead character himself is a little robot who looks very similar to Marvin in the film version of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You know, they made him white and look a bit iPod-y and gave him a massive head. He kind of looks almost exactly like that. It looks like one of those Japanese robots that walk all by themselves and freak me right out. He zooms along screen from left to right. He's got to jump over gaps and collect objects. It's actually been really nicely motion captured, or I don't know if it's been motion captured, or it's really slick animation. Because when he runs and he does little tricks and flips, it goes all bullet time, and he sort of zooms and swooshes through the air. It actually looks really good, animation-wise. Apparently there's 30 levels to run through, and the idea is he's kind of on his ship on his own, like, you know, looking after the place. Kind of like David in Prometheus, only, I suspect, with less annoying dialogue. And he's trying to save the ship from being exploded or crashed or, I don't know, something like that. There's been a lot of these out recently, actually. I mean, there's been a lot in general, but especially recently, I feel like there's been even more of these. And especially in this style. Just very solid black foreground. It's become the vogue. Totem Runner was one of them that was really good. Apparently Badlands is coming. That also looks kind of pretty. LAD, L-A-D, that was another one. There's loads of them around.
It's flavour of the month stuff, isn't it?
I think it is. It will pass, no doubt. But in fairness, this is a visually a nice-looking one. I'll see how it plays. But yeah, you can grab Gear Jack from the App Store. It's iPhone and iPad, and it'll cost you 69p 99 cents. Ooh, nice screenshots. Go and have a look at that one. What's next?
Next up is Beatdown by Ravenous Games. But hold on, I know what you're thinking. Oh no, Beatdown? You mean the sort of spiritual sequel to Final Fight by Capcom that came out on the PlayStation 2 in 2005?
You read my mind, Peter Wellington. It can't possibly be that, can it?
You're right, it's not that. Capcom's been nowhere near this. But it is, funnily enough, or not funnily enough because it's not really a joke, a 2D side-scrolling brawler in the vein of Final Fight or Streets of Rage. I would say it's a little bit more Double Dragon.
Yeah, I would agree with you, sir.
Obviously from the creators of League of Evil, which I believe did quite well.
Yeah, it's good.
And, you know, it's a Double Dragon game. You know, you walk through the streets, you come across like four or five different bad guys, and they go, and then come after you, and there are ninjas. There are people with boxing gloves on. There's probably a lady with a whip at some point. And brilliantly, there are really large guys that bust out of the walls. Like, what's his name? Is his name Bobo or
Bob? Oh, something like that, yes. But yeah,
something like that from the Double Dragon.
Comes, yes.
Yeah, and there were green ones on the Amiga version. Mm-hmm. And it was like, dude, what's up? Like, so it's an homage to that kind of a game. It has like a little chip tune soundtrack, very, very adorable visuals, and I'm sure it looks great. So
it does look nice. League of Evil controlled really well, impressively, like for a touchscreen platformer, it controlled really well. I don't know if they've been able to move that success into this format as well, whether this controls equally smoothly, but I guess we'll have to see. But it doesn't
matter. It's getting some decent enough sort of reviews on the App Store, and I think our review is out very soon. 99 cents, 69p, and obviously you can get that on your iPhone and your iPad.
That's awesome, Peter. Max, okay. Awesome, that is. Oh. Kill me. Which is a game, another one by Chillingo. Max Awesome for the iPhone and iPad. What Chillingo has gone and done is it's had a look at Joe Danger, which itself had a look at Trials HD, and thought in a kind of 6 degrees of separation way, oh, that looks like a good idea. Let's do one of those then.
It's disgusting, I think. Like, it's almost a wholesale ripoff of Joe Danger. Like, not, yeah. I don't want to mince words on this one. This... It's staggeringly close.
It is. I mean, to be fair, like when you play Trials HD, the camera moves around quite a lot. For example, it pans out, it zooms in, and also it's positioned more central. And then, if anything, it leans towards like running slightly ahead of the action, so it's looking back on the racer. Whereas Joe Danger was almost exclusively like rather than it being a serious kind of like bros on a BMXs, Joe Danger was like funny dude in a little helmet doing stunt riding and a very colourful look, and the camera was pushed slightly back from the action facing forwards. Max Awesome looks just exactly the same, really.
That's horrible. Like, like if you're going to rip somebody off, like rip off Gears of War or like rip off Halo or rip off Uncharted or whatever, because those companies are like whatever, but don't... Oh.
It does seem a bit... I mean, it's difficult because there are so many of what we would call clones and copies, and it's always difficult to try and assess like who had the original idea, because Trials itself came from the PC game Trials, which was just in 2D, and I suspect it wasn't even the first physical, you know, physics racer thing. But there's a difference between kind of, oh, we'll take the idea and build on it, and, oh, we're just going to copy-paste that. This does look like the latter, I'm afraid. Apparently there's 60 obstacle pack stages, a bunch of objectives, you get rewarded with awesomes, which is apparently a currency which you can spend on helmets, outfits, bikes and tricks. That's why it's called Max Awesome, I guess. Or it says if you've completely maxed out everything on Joe Danger and want something else, maybe look at this, but otherwise just play Joe Danger. Yeah. I would say, not to be too cynical, but there you go. If you do feel the urge, you can find it, 69p 99 cents for iPhone and iPad. It's been labeled as Joe Danger for iOS, and it's actually got some quite good reviews, but well hopefully Joe Danger will be coming to iOS anyway. Actually, I think it is, isn't it?
I think it... I thought we had a story up saying that they were working on it.
I thought that as well. So hopefully it will come along, and this will just be a footnote before the real thing comes in and everyone goes crazy for it. But we'll see. What have we got last?
What have we got last? Last but not least, or maybe least, I don't know, I haven't played it. For the iPhone and the iPad, it's by Jared Bailey. It's Cubed Rally Redline. There's a dinosaur in it.
Off to a good start.
Off to a brilliant start. So we've got a screenshot up on the site, and I'm just looking at a little video of it right now. Basically, it's kind of box art, you know, almost like papercraft, I suppose you might say. And they're of little cars, like little the sort of cars that you might see in a Tesco car park doing wheelies and all sorts of stuff late at night.
I am immediately reminded of, you know, all the games like Micro Machines and everything, and it's really simple and pixel arty, and I do kind of immediately want to play it because all that sliding around corners looks fun.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It looks really good, but I mean, so I think this looks really, really good fun. It's bright. It looks like there's some decent sort of level of challenge and strategy to it. Like, I'm seeing this car blow up a whole bunch of times. I'm actually really interested to see more of this. So, might have to go and get that. And that is 69p 99 cents. iPad, iPhone, anything you want, really.
I may have a look at that too. That's I'm getting it's a podcast of flashbacks. I'm just spent a lot of time on Micro Machines as a kid, and that does look like fun. Although we have to move our minds to more present games, because I've been playing some stuff this week, some of them relatively new, some of them slightly less new. And we should probably chat about what we've been up to over on the What We've Been Playing fields.
What we've been playing!
This week, in my absence from the podcast, I have been playing a couple of things. I've been catching up. One of which has been Angry Birds Star Wars, that one or two of you may have heard about, I suppose, which is very much like Angry Birds, to be honest. Lots of cynicism when it originally came out. I think it's done well, and people are pretty much in agreement, a lot of them are, that it's probably the best version of Angry Birds, the best iteration. It mixes bits from space and it mixes the old vanilla gameplay, and everyone says, yeah, it's pretty good. Tough to get really excited about because it is just more Angry Birds. But it's done well. It's got the polish, and I've played through it a bit, and yeah, it's okay. But what I've been really excited about is Waking Mars. Now, I played the Spider game, Spider Wick Manor. I forget what it's even called, but it's by the same team, by Tiger Style. It was the game they did before this. And it played really well, and I was doing it as a catch-up, and I thought, right, this is my lead into Waking Mars, which I'd seen running and always looked awesome, but I never actually sat down and played the whole thing. And I started playing that recently, and oh my word, it is gorgeous. It's one thing, I've always looked on it from afar, and I hadn't, and it looked great, but I hadn't had the opportunity to play it, and I didn't have the tech. I'm so impressed. It's difficult to know where to start. I mean, actually, one thing I can say, it's been updated. I think it was today, literally updated today, and I haven't played it with the new update. So it's now got speech added to it. So the characters have voiceovers, and they've changed the pictures that were at the top. And if I start by saying that some of the dialogue, if I was to say the worst thing about it, is some of the speech looks a bit hackneyed. The way they're talking to each other seems a bit odd. And they had these little pictures whenever a character was speaking that would pop up in the corners, and that looked not that great. I say that now because everything else is fantastic, pretty much, from what I've played. If you're not familiar with the game at all, you are on Mars playing the role of a science kind of officer. You're going around like a biologist, botanical biologist, floating around beneath the surface of Mars, exploring caves and looking for new alien plant life to plant, to explore, to grow and to crossbreed in the end. Which might not necessarily sound like, balls to the wall action, but... It is so well done. The attention to detail is magnificent. Completely like sort of 2D side-on affair. The caves are rendered beautifully. They've got a lot of parallax scrolling going on here, both in the background and in the foreground. And it's like little flashes and touches here and there. And when it does, it just looks so classy. And you have a jetpack. Your man has boosters, which allows him to fly around when he's exploring the cave. And you have to pick up seeds, which you find deposited on the floor. And initially, at the very beginning, I haven't played it for ages, but at the beginning, certainly when you start off, you pick up the seeds, and there are these plants that are blocking off the exit. And in order to clear the exit, you kind of have to kill the plant, which is done by planting other types of organisms, which then grow and either absorb a certain type of, either absorb oxygen from the atmosphere or release a certain kind of toxin into the atmosphere that will then destroy the thing that's blocking your way. So you're kind of planting seeds in order to continue, which is a really sort of novel mechanic rather than just shooting 20 aliens to continue. But the way it is done is kind of so impressive. The movement controls are lovely. You get this wonderful floaty sense when you're exploring. You really feel like you're exploring as well. That's the interesting thing about it. The music's very atmospheric, and the presentation is such that you get very easily lost in what you're doing. The controls are just kind of just hold your finger where you want your guy to fly off to. Once he lands on solid ground, you can then just press and he'll walk across the ground. If you want to plant seeds, you have to select the seeds, and then in a very Angry Birds-like way, you kind of pull elastically towards the direction you want him to fling it, and then he'll throw the seed, and it'll either stick into the floor, or if there are kind of fertile areas on the wall or the ceiling, you lob it into you know, into the ceiling or into the wall, and then plants will grow and spores will open, and then, you know, you can get through to the next area. There's kind of more just beyond, you know, simply growing plants and everything, but I haven't got hugely far into it, but it's just from pretty much from 5 minutes in, it's like, this is such a kind of classy product, you know. I'm rarely as impressed as I have been with Waking Mars, especially with mobile games, because often they're geared towards very short plays that you can just sort of dip in and dip out of, and they're not necessarily very atmospheric. They rely on kind of compulsive mechanics to keep you playing. This one feels like a world, a real world that you're going around and exploring, and the action is innovative and a little bit different, and the presentation is so strong, and it just, apart from those tiny niggles, which I think they've already corrected now with the most recent update, it's just really classy, something a little bit different, and everyone should definitely get this game. It's iPhone and it's iPad. I couldn't tell you how much it is at the moment. I'm going to check, because I know it went cheap for a little while. £2.99, or that'll translate to $4.99. It's compatible with iPhone 5 now, so if you've got that, go and get it. It's just great. So go and get it immediately. What about you, Peter? What have you been playing?
Well, I was sort of tricked into playing Extreme Road Trip 2.
Extreme Road Trip 2, you were tricked into playing it?
Yes. I'd never heard of Extreme Road Trip 2 in my life. It was not on my radar. It was not something that was being talked about amongst my friends. It was not something that I saw covered on PG. What happened was Game Center, I believe, has this facility now whereby you can issue challenges to friends.
Right.
And I'm running a fancy iPhone 4S, so I've got all the latest gubbins, and I've upgraded it to the new iOS operating system and all of that lovely stuff. And as part of that, Game Center, you can challenge mates, essentially.
Right.
And you say, oh, I've just got 1,000 super coins in whatever. The thing is that you can also send out challenges for games that people don't own. And somebody on my friends list started this thing whereby it said, I've just got 1,000 meters in Extreme Road Trip 2. Can you beat my score? Something along those lines. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. And it was just a notification. And I was just like, whatever, I don't really care. And then I got more and more and more. And one day I had like 30 of these requests. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to go and see this thing, because maybe it's the hot new jam. Maybe it's
the hot new jam. Sorry, do continue.
You know, maybe it's the funky new beat we all have to dance to.
Yes, you're so down with the
and
kids.
I went. I'm like a scat man, jazz raven. I'm One Direction.
Lady Gaga's meat.
Friends. And so I went and downloaded it. And do you know what? It's really good. It came out, I think it was the end of October. And basically it's a game where you're in a car and the accelerator is broken. So you're constantly accelerating, and you can't brake. But what you can do is keep driving and driving and driving and driving until you run out of fuel and boost. And you can also flip the car forward, flip the car backwards, and hold both sides of the screen to slam down into the ground.
Okay.
So there's a couple of different games, I think, out there that are a little bit like this, but I've never played one before. And it's really addictive, especially if you've got a load of friends that are sort of bugging you to play this thing. You know, it's essentially how far can you drive and how many points can you get and how far can you drive 1,000, you know, how quickly can you get to 1,000 meters and how many spins can you do in the air and all this sort of stuff. And the car feels really well weighted. You know, when you slam down onto the ground, it feels really heavy. Mm-hmm. And when you are spinning in the air, it's really easy to make judgments about your physical, your sort of physical position in space. That's a little bit difficult to understand, but for me, like car games, which I'm a big fan of, you can always tell whether or not they're a great game because you don't have to be looking at the car. And you don't have to be looking necessarily at
even the road in like a more traditional racing game to know exactly where it is that you're driving. Like in Gran, like I know we always go back to it, but in something like a Gran Turismo or a Real Racing or something like that, you should be able to get so familiar with the car and the physics of it should be so spot on that you should be able to drive a lap around Laguna Seca in your favorite car completely blindfolded. Like, you know, you should be able to do those things. And it's not a simulation in any way. You know, it's an arcade game in which you need to compete with your friends. But it has this sort of consistency to all of it that is just really, really impressive. And the way that it ties in all of the social stuff is just brilliant, essentially. You know, you do have all of these challenges to put out there. It's tied into Game Center really, really well. And if you beat somebody's score, you know, it just pops down a little box and sort of says, you've beaten them, yay! And the compulsion to keep going is just fantastic. It, you know, it is a sort of endless runner. But it's just so much better tied into other things, into its own systems than other sort of games of its genre. It is free, and that means it's obviously got in-app purchases and stuff like that. You don't get upgrades very quickly. You really do have to keep grinding out the game. You know, I've spent about, I'd say, an hour and a half with it, I suppose, and I've managed to get two upgrades for the first car and not bought anything else. Like,
right, okay.
So, and those upgrades aren't massively meaningful, and I think there's like four or five in total per car.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of that. That's a bit, it feels a little bit miserly, but at the same time, the baseline car, if you are good enough, you know, you can beat all of your friends. I've got mates on it who've dropped a little, you know, they splashed a little bit of cash and and, you know, they've gone and bought a super duper car, you know, and I've beaten their leaderboard times, and I'm not particularly good at video games, so it is possible to do all of those things, and I think it's really well balanced in that way. And obviously, when you get to the end of each race, obviously you're rewarded with cars and stuff like that. And if you get XP for it as well, and when you do, you get two little boxes that pop up on the screen. You have to tap them really, really quickly, and then they explode. And then you might get a little bonus as well. You might get some extra cash or some extra experience or like a coin multiplier, for example. It's just loads of achievements, loads of social integration, and it's just really, really well put together. I don't feel, developers, if you're listening, I don't feel like spamming me at 3 o'clock in the morning is a great idea. And I don't really know where this stuff is going to end. It's worked this time.
I'm going to say, it was quite successful, wasn't it? This peer pressure appears to be doing the trick.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has worked this time. I think it's a dangerous little path that we might go down. But in this instance, I'm really glad that some other sort of mates sort of picked this up, because it really is a top quality little distraction to keep you busy at 2 minutes at a time.
That's two really good games we've actually had this week, which is a welcome change. Sometimes it can be a bit of a downer, but I think we're ending on a positive note there. So Extreme Road Trip 2 gets the thumbs up from Peter. And if you see spam in the middle of the night on your iOS, it's probably him. Saying, you beat my score, I got 10,000, you didn't.
Come play with me.
Exactly.
Come play with me. I've got, actually, if any listeners are playing, I've got I think I got up to 5,100 meters. If you can beat that, I'll be very, very impressed. In fact, I would want to hear from you if you can beat 5,000, because I think that's a pretty good score.
If you do say so yourself. Well, yes. Gauntlet has been thrown down. So there you go. Go and try and beat Peter's score and just play Waking Mars, because it's really good. Thanks for listening, everybody. Go and play those two lovely games. If you want to see anything else in the iOS gaming world, just head over to pocketgamer.co.uk. We've got all the information on the stories you've just heard. And go to pocketgamer.biz as well for the background info. We will be back next week, possibly with a few more people joining us. But until then, thank you to Peter for joining me.
Thank you, it's been a pleasure.
I'll never leave you again. I probably will, but, you know. Come back next week, we'll speak to you then. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.